Greetings and welcome back. This is Nexus Gaming News, recorded on Tuesday, October 5th. I'm Garrett Weinzerl, here as always with Kyle Ferguson. Kyle, do you like spooky trains?
I have no idea where this came from, but it's all over the internet. It doesn't even come out this year.
Yeah, it would appear, dude, that the Thomas the Tank Engine Skyrim mods have reached their final form, because the internet is absolutely a buzz, thanks to the debut or the announcement of an upcoming game called Choo Choo Charles. And if you haven't heard about Choo Choo Charles, it's an open world horror game where players are going to go and explore a dark and creepy island using their upgradable train while being hunted by another train, but it's a spider monster train with a creepy face on the front.
For some reason, this has ushered in the holidays for gamers. This is the big announcement. 2022 is the date on it. It kind of has a sort of Slenderman vibe. You're going to be walking around the forest. You're looking for scrap. You fill out that scrap. You upgrade your train. I don't know why this is the premier game at the moment, but it certainly did get me in the mood for something spooky.
Yeah. Hey, man, listen, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's almost 2022, but it feels like we're still completely in the throes of 2020 and the absolute game drought that followed. Not to put down Choo Choo Charles at all, but I think more independent titles, they're getting a lot more buzz than usual. Also, it's October 5th. We're barely into spooky season here. And I don't know. Dying Light 2 was delayed for like the 17th time. What do you want from us?
Yes. So Dying Light 1, was that a cultural touchstone? Was that a big deal? Why has this game gotten so much press recently for a 2?
Well, I feel like it's gotten so much press because it keeps getting delayed. I haven't played the first one. I wouldn't call myself a Dying Light fan, as I haven't freaking played it. The only one that's out. But the E3 showing, whenever its original showing was, it was legitimately so far ago, I don't remember, and I don't have it in front of me. It was a strong showing. It was decent. It was, you know, they had what you wanted. They actually showed you gameplay in an E3 debut.
Parkour.
Yeah, there's parkour. There's pushing zombies off buildings and stuff. I know the first one has a bit of a cult following. It was relatively successful, obviously successful enough to warrant a sequel. I am personally actually pretty interested in 2. I think it looks like a solid game that I would enjoy playing. But I just use it as an example because it's like, well, here we are, October 2021. And there's just not much. Dead by Daylight, still going strong, has its fan base, keeps putting out new killers and whatnot. You know, if you're a fan of an existing horror franchise, there's a really good chance that that game already has you covered with whatever your favorite slasher murderer of choice is. But other than that, we're just sitting here really waiting for Back for Blood. It comes out next week. It comes out next Tuesday on October 12th.
Yeah.
And that kind of seems to be the beginning and end of any spooky video game related new releases for this October, which, and also not to put down Back for Blood, is you and I both like Left 4 Dead quite a bit. I think it was one of the first games we ever played together. And I'm absolutely ready for another one of those games. And because, you know, Left 4 Dead belongs to Valve, I just expected to never see another one.
Very fair. Very fair. It's been a weird year for the holiday here, Halloween, because I think the big premiere horror game actually wasn't that scary. This would be Resident Evil 8 The Village, or Resident Evil Village, as they got cute with the V and the L.
Yeah, I forget that was this year. Resident Evil has been weirdly kind of like compacted timeline for me, because I don't think of Resident Evil 7 being very long ago, because I didn't play it at launch. I played it, I want to say, a year or two after it came out. And then, you know, the pandemic happened and everything that happened just before that kind of feels like it's closer than it actually was. And yet Resident Evil Village, just like, no, that was 2020, right? No, it came out this year. We were all losing our minds over Big Lady this year.
that was this year. It's a fascinating game. I think the real success of Resident Evil 8 The Village is that the engine continues to be fabulous. The RE engine as opposed to things we've heard about like the Frostbite engine or even troubles with the Unreal Engine over the years or any of the Blizzard engines. Like, they just keep making games that work. And there are minimal graphical problems.
They don't just work. They work and they look impeccable. Like, I think it is one of the best looking engines on the market. Although engine is a tool, right? It gives you as much as you can get out of it. So what I really mean to say is that Resident Evil games just look good. Recently played the Resident Evil 2 remake for the first time, which that's a little old now. And that game looks absolutely freaking incredible. So
it's more the pace. Like, that's what I'm so impressed by is they put out the remakes. They're putting out 7 and 8 pretty close together in terms of like Resident Evil sequels. And they're just functional. The biggest problem with 8 was that the bugs caused graphical glitches. It was like overloaded your graphics card slightly. And that was fixed within a week. Like, it's just impressive that they're able to chug out these games and they are functional. Now, of course, like Resident Evil 2 Remake was a shorter game in kind of the old sense, like 8 hours. And then you could then replay it as other characters, perhaps to get another 8 hours out of it. Even Resident Evil 8, what I would say is cinematic length of games at probably maybe 20 by the time all was said and done for us.
I don't know. I don't think too much about how long games take me to beat. I think they're just auto-categorized in my brain. It's like, oh, I know this is going to be a month-long journey, or I know this is going to be a weekend binge kind of a thing. And I don't really think too much about it. But it's a quieter October. I was recently made aware of an ongoing series of horror games. Have you heard of the Dark Pictures series?
No.
I believe there's already 2 of these out, maybe just 1, don't quote me on that, but they have something like 8 games planned for this series. I believe they're shorter because I believe even brand new they're only $20 US, and there's a brand new one coming out very soon called House of Ashes that's coming out on October 22nd.
Okay, I've definitely seen the lady smiley face. I thought it was from a movie or something. But yeah, I'm aware of some of these images that are flashing on the screen right now.
Yeah. I actually have I have the first one. It is in the mail on its way to me because I was completely unaware of the existence of this. And our mutual friend, Jocelyn Carney from the Gamers In podcast, mentioned this to me. And I was like, wait, there's like an ongoing fairly high budget horror like narrative game series going on that's like not that expensive to get into. I wasn't aware of this. And
so are these like vignettes, kind of like your American Horror Story sort of business, or
the vibe I get? Yeah, I think again, I haven't played it yet. I believe the combined, like the thread that binds it all together is there's like this librarian character that's kind of like picking out spooky stories from this creepy library.
I'm into it.
Yeah. I don't know if they've said that they will all connect or not, but could happen. It also, if it's anything like American Horror Story, who knows? Quality mileage may vary wildly from one game to the next.
Right. That'd be interesting if it actually has different directors and that sort of styling.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? But back to Choo Choo Charles, though, man. How are you? You and I haven't talked too much about mods, but I know we both played Skyrim, and I know we're definitely aware, at least from like osmosis meme level sort of exposure, of all of the Thomas the Tank Engine mods for Skyrim. Like, did you ever install any of those? Is that your cup of tea?
I didn't get weird. No, I love the random start mod, which you would basically select from a series of places among the map. So like you had like a necromancer start that would start you instead of, you know, on the trail, oh, you're finally awake. Instead, you'd wake up in a cave with like a 2 necromancer spells, at least theming, and you know, there'd be like skulls nearby. And then you could do like a farmer and you'd wake up on a farm somewhere. And yeah, there were NPCs already there, but you just randomly spawn if you selected the random button. And that was my favorite. I did a little bit with like graphics. Basically, my experience with modding Skyrim was, ooh, it broke. Ooh, that looks pretty. It broke. And then seeing if I could reel it back, and then getting bored the second it looked pretty enough. Cause I'm like, okay, I've seen you before. I know you, Skyrim. I'm done.
I've had a very similar experience. But yeah, I've always found it amusing. And now I can't divorce this Choo Choo Charles trailer from the Thomas mods. Like, I really can't. Although it had this side effect of reminding me that I was really into trains when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I can't think of a single game where I've gotten to drive a train. I can think of countless games where I've robbed trains, used trains as transportation, been run over by trains, had to beat the train in a racing game, all sorts of that stuff. And I know there are train games out there, but I've never played any. So I look at this and I go, maybe I actually want to play this because I get to control a train. And there's enough weird fantasy bull piled on top of it to actually make it interesting to me, because I definitely don't like trains now like I did when I was five. So the idea of like a legit train simulator is not all that appealing, but the idea of having like a customizable train with like an RPG, like gear system, and also having to kill a monster train is actually weirdly appealing to me.
It's got a fascinating fantasy to it, right? As they also make it very clear that you can choo-choo the train should you choose. You can pull your little lever and all that. But what immediately got me thinking about is just the game mechanics of it. And I remember Assassin's Creed and how in order to get away from the guards, you would go to the rooftops and run around in circles. And maybe you dive inside of this little awning and be like, nope, that didn't work. They saw me. And we're trying to find another bale of hay. And you just run, trying to find the thing that worked. And the game mechanic from things like Slenderman of sneaking around and like, oh, how far can I go? How much can I risk it? And then having this exciting, even giggle fit fear moment of like running through the forest, trying to get back to your train is actually a really fun idea. And it's surprisingly fresh in that way, because you're going to vary between sneak and then this sort of rail shooter and back and forth. And I think that's why it's really captured everybody's imaginations.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything with RPG style upgrades, I tend to be a little more interested in. Like you mentioned rail shooter. If you were just like, oh yeah, it's a rail shooter where you can get out and scavenge, I'd be like, no, I don't think so. But if it's a rail shooter where I get more and more powerful as I go.
Well, and literally on rails, it's a train
and after all. And it's infinitely memeable because I'm fighting a satanic Thomas the Tank Engine. I mean, what's not to like? Other than I am completely unfamiliar with the studio. It's made by a studio called Two Star Games. They have multiple games out right now on Steam, it would appear. Seems they're most known for My Beautiful Paper Smile. But I'll be honest, I haven't heard of this studio before or these other titles. So to me, I look at this and go, this sure looks like right place, right time. And like the perfect marketing.
And we're also in, this is just wholly unique in the way that it is post-phantasmophobia. Is that how I say that aloud?
Phasmophobia?
Phasmophobia. I want to put phantasma in there because it really was quite the sensation. In fact, every single game I possibly see, I'm like, do you have a localized audio to communicate with my friends? No, well, you're not really a modern game, are you? What are you doing, New World? Coming out without, you know, what's the phrase for that?
Are you talking about like proximity voice chat?
Yeah, proximity.
New World does have that. I believe it's bugged like crazy at the moment, but it does have that.
That's why I haven't heard about it. So, but games like that and these co-op kind of games, they're all the rage. And I think that's, again, why this Choo Choo Charles is kind of striking people, because if there's one thing that's coming out in the next half year, it's proximity voice chat co-op horror games. There are so many. It is a tidal wave of incoming stylistic games. And you know what? It's really good. I haven't played a lick of this thing, the Phasmophobia, because it looks freaky, but I love watching it. And I'll watch like YouTube-y YouTubers have at this thing and still have a good time watching it.
Yeah, this is one of the few games I have actually looked up a few YouTube plays of, because it's absolutely hilarious.
It's just fun.
And it looks 100% like the type of game that I would not be able to play. Resident Evil 7 scared the crap out of me to the point where I still haven't finished it. I got really far into it. At a certain point, I was just like, ah, just too much. So I know Phasmophobia would just, it would end me.
Resident Evil was pursuable for me. I had to have a friend nearby. I couldn't do it alone. But it was action game enough. And in that sort of action game style, it amped up as the game went on to the point when you eventually basically had enough ammunition and enough grenades and such, and eventually landmines, that the horror decreased. And then the final bosses, as often in Resident Evil style, are just anime ridiculous. So you just got to power through that middle bit. That's a horrific journey. But Phasmophobia, just it's slow. It has kind of this investigation style to it where you try to figure out what the ghost is and what type it is. And you go back and try to trade out your tools and get the right ones for the job. It even has kind of an ongoing element where you then gain money to the next mission and spend that money to get tools for the next mission. And it kind of snowballs itself in that way. And I just think it's a fascinating product, but the proximity voice chat really, really sells it, particularly, of course, when it phases out. When it
I need this, but with the Ghostbusters license.
Oh, yeah.
That's Phasmophobia, it is really cool. I think it is extremely well executed. Even if it's, I think, too spooky for me to take on myself, but all it does is make me really, really want this type of game with a Ghostbusters license and obviously good. Cause as soon as I hear licensed game, I get a little concerned, but that's all that can make me think of it.
And the closest game you'd be asking for is probably Hunt Showdown, which is a multiplayer, almost Left 4 Dead-ish type of game. But there's also this element where it has some PvP at the end. It's like, imagine if you had Ghostbusters the game, but as you finally figured out where the ghost was and began to fight it, another team, a rival company, would show up and try to bust you busting the ghost. It's a fascinating combination.
Okay, so like dueling archaeologists in Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Whoa. Hey, the Hunt Showdown. Hang on. You messed up. That's what we actually need. Again. Things like we the one you're mentioning earlier with all the different franchises that keep coming in.
Dead by Daylight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like your asymmetric PvP.
And that's a fascinating exploration, much like Smite and Fortnite, and just getting franchises on board. But it still seems like we can't quite break through the barrier of a brand new game that's pre-franchised. Once proven, then maybe, that game needs Alien from Alien. But, you know, it's getting there, and it's got all the goods.
That's how Dead by Daylight launched. It launched with, I don't think, any licensed killers.
Yeah, just made up ones. And then they sort of did their own, I know they had kind of a ancient Egypt sort of Cleopatra type. And they sort of inched their way towards, this is basically, Freddy or Jason. And then eventually they're like, okay, here we go. We got the real thing.
Here's the pig lady from Saw. That's the one that piqued my interest because I love Saw. And I was like, oh, damn, they got the Saw license? I need to check this out. We have it looks like a very similar type game with Evil Dead coming out early next year. They're doing, it looks like, this asymmetric, co-op, but also versus a player commanding the Deadites side of things.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that one looks kind of interesting to me, though, because I don't play enough Dead by Daylight to know if something like this already exists, but you can, in Evil Dead, it looks like it's going to have a possession mechanic where you can kind of take over other players, which, I got to say, to me, as someone who's I dip my toe into Dead by Daylight every once in a while, it seemed that's unique enough to pique my interest.
All right, there's a Renaissance Fair player you can play as. Awesome.
Have you never seen Army of Darkness, Kyle?
Oh, I was more Renaissance Fair, not so much that he's from the time of,
it's Evil Dead, man. He's from Army of Darkness.
I mean, if he went through a portal, all the more and all the better it is for the franchise. But what I'm really noticing immediately in this trailer is that we are now in the age of cornfields and wheat. We have officially overcome the tech of grass. And grass looked, it looked okay in Left 4 Dead 2, but we're really reaching that point where things in the grass are getting interesting.
Well, then Left 4 Dead 2 had a farm level, didn't it? I just don't think the corn moved when you touched it.
No, it didn't. It was horrifying because it did actually hide the zombies moving towards you, and they just clip through it. So they'd be in your face before you really got a chance to react. Now it's actually starting to get a little snakeish, you know, a la Jurassic Park 2.
Yeah, it's some cool stuff. I mean, it's horror games. You gotta have cornfields. It's required. You gotta have spooky farm settings. So that doesn't surprise me at all. Before we end, since we're on the subject, I revisit movies a ton for any holiday, and Halloween is no exception. I have kind of my short list of things I got to watch every year. Do you do that with games? Do you have like spooky games you play every October?
Oh, not every October, but there's certainly the ones that I remember so fondly that they're just staples, or maybe even I fire them up, like Dead Space 1 for me. Is just the peak of like theming in the beginning, going to the derelict spaceship and making your way in there, meeting your first necromorph and shooting off its limbs. It's just such a great evolution of what RE4 did, or with that over the shoulder camera and getting rid of the HUD and putting it on his back and stuff, that it really is a pinnacle for me. And I'm really excited about that remake.
Yeah, that's Space One. It's funny enough, I have like a real soft spot for it too, and yet I haven't personally played it. It was like watching my roommate, you know, drinking a beer or two in college. Like, I saw the whole game just hanging out on the couch, watching. Terrible sentence out of context. Beautiful dismemberments.
it was the game mechanic. That's how you defeated the enemies. And in fact, on the remake, they're showing just how far that tech has gone to the point where all the meat is removable from the skeleton. And it's going to be brutal.
I'm really excited for the remake, dude. Because like I said, I like this game, but I haven't personally played through it. So it is straight up on my list. That's just I have no more decisions to make. I'm gonna get that when it comes out.
Yeah. If I were having a Halloween game of choice, though, it'd be Darkest Dungeon 2 is coming out. It's exclusive to the Epic Gaming Store, but they've done a little bit of work with me over the last 2 years. They've given me so many free games. I at least have some sort of investment in that launcher, and I've played a couple of them too. If the reviews are good, I've got no problem throwing down and getting my first game in the Epic Store for that. But it's actually really quite different. They're describing it as more of a roguelike in the way that you move from point A out, try to get as far as you can, and then should you fail, you might try to get to that point a second time and a third. And the art style is perhaps upgraded to tall people, rather than short little spritey kind of nonsense, but that art style, that Hellboy look just really, really spoke to me. I love the Cthulhu nonsense, and the narrator's amazing. A lot of that's coming back, but they're not going to remake one here. They want to make a whole new game while keeping that horror and that aspect. I mean, turn-based without pops and scares, is it really horror? No, it's more of an adventure. Like, I think all games benefit from horror to some degree. You got things like Half-Life 2. Horrifying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first Half-Life scared me for the time, because I was playing it when it was a relatively new game. The graphics look terrible now by comparison. But at the time, like, first time getting sucked up by one of those barnacle aliens.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, geez. Oh, God. Or the first time I encountered the water monster in Half-Life 1. It scared the crap out of me. I mean, the same with like the Re-Dead in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time a game actually legitimately scared me. By the way,
I will tell this story again, if I haven't told it already in other places. I, on the bus, gave my N64 cartridge to a friend so they could beat the Shadow Temple for me, because after doing the well, I was done.
Oh, Kyle, I lost a lot of respect for you just now.
Of course I went back and did it eventually. I'm a grown man now. I can handle it. But, you know, the Spirit Temple, you could skip the Shadow Temple, go to the Spirit Temple ahead of it, actually, as long as you just walked in the door and got the boots and then ran away. But I was too scared at that point. I almost closed my eyes running through the town square every time I left the Temple of the Time. But I fully believe, as an adult now, that every adventure is made better by some horror.
I agree.
Mass Effect, yeah. The husks. And there are a lot of games that I recommend as like almost first-time horror games to people going to the season. Like, you know, BioShock. It's spooky,
yep.
But it's not that bad. Even Last of Us, you go in and out of underground. It's an adventure game that has horror elements.
I love the intro to Last of Us 1 as well. Like, spoiler alert, you get to see the infection start, and there's this great like classic beginning of a zombie movie sequence in a car where you're kind of seeing the town degrade. And that sets such a mood. I will say this year, I don't know what's come over me, but I feel the need to revisit, a very specific section of Last of Us 2 because it scared the bejesus out of me. And if you haven't played it or if you haven't seen it, there's a segment of Last of Us 2 that happens in the basement of a hospital. And it's terrifying.
You talking about the conglomeration?
That's kind of the crescendo of the whole thing. But the entire section, this kind of descent into madness, it really slowly just gets worse and worse and worse. Like, the second you show up, you realize, this is bad, I shouldn't be here, but then you have to progress through it and adjust. It is this absolute descent into madness. I think it's probably the strongest part of that game. And it scared the crap out of me. I had to take it one step at a time, and that's a third person game. It's not even first person like Resident Evil 7, which absolutely scared the crap out of me. But
it's good stuff. And you got, even in one, you had the basement of the college where you had to start the generator. Like there were times where that horror really amped up. And I fully recommend that game to anybody who would be looking for, you know, something a bit more adventure focused this holiday season. If you're insane, you can go straight to Five Nights at Freddy's. That's just no fun.
Yeah. But those more your third person Resident Evils, your Last of Us is hell, even Evil Within, if you're of that persuasion, not one of my favorite games, but I think they're crowd pleasers. They're good too. If like there's other folks in your household that want to watch you play a game, they're a good kind of backseat gamer experience as well. So anyways, man, I'll see you in Choo Choo Charles.
Probably. It just looks like good fun.
Yeah. I want to play this game. When I first saw it, I thought it was kind of a joke. And the more I thought about it, I was like, this actually looks like something I might enjoy. So anyways, that's going to bring us to the end of this one. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe, as well as, you know, ring the notification bell, because you want to take control over the algorithm and get the latest uploads from Kyle and myself. If you're a podcast listener, we upload every Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget to subscribe if you're streaming the podcast version. And we also finally have set up our own inbox. So send your emails to feedback@nexusgamingnews.com. And until next time, good luck. Have fun, everyone.